Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, April 20th, 2015. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm splendid. Thank you for asking.
Awesome. And I'm so glad to have you here. I'm also glad to have John Martellaro here. How are you, John?
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Awesome. And yeah, that's also awesome. Cocotec Pathfinder 7 is our sponsor this week, which is really great. We'll talk about them some more soon. But before we get to that, I wanted to take a look at a piece that I wrote this morning. Carl Howe is an analyst, and he's come up with his own theory on why we're seeing these lag times out from April 24th for Apple Watch shipping dates. And his theory is that Apple didn't build up a big inventory of product ahead of the pre-order announcement, and instead has chosen to build to order Apple Watches based on the orders that were actually placed. And if so, this would help account for why we aren't going to have any Apple Watches in stores on the 24th when Apple Watch is supposed to officially be available.
I don't like it.
Do tell, Brian.
Well, for one thing, Apple's really good at this logistics thing. And for another, Apple is very experienced now with the product rollouts. And the idea that Apple was just sort of sitting around on its supply chain derriere. Well, not even laurels yet at this point, but yeah, just sitting around with the supply chain, not making these things ahead of time because, oh my God, we don't know how it's going to be received. That makes no sense. That Occam's razor says that the reason why we're seeing delays is because Apple has announced these at early in the process, and it's just hard to ramp up production.
Which I find equally plausible. So here's another thing that he was speculating on. Apple ramped up and built a bunch of guts for the Apple Watch. So they're waiting for pre-orders so that they could figure out which bodies to put the guts in.
Yeah, but Apple could have – if Apple had plenty of guts and straps made, Apple could have had those in the Apple stores and be handling online sales on a build order basis. Or at the very least, Apple could have had certain amounts of inventory built up with the plan to, you know, just shift to just in time assembly as needed once they actually work through their initial supply. Again, Occam's razor says that the reality is that Apple is just having a hard time ramping up production. That makes a lot more sense to me.
I would love to agree with you, Brian. I think there's elements of truth in there, but generally, I think I just disagree with you. What a concept. and I kind of go with Carl on this. The reason I'm thinking of this is because I think Angela Ahrens brought her expertise to this, and some other people felt that in concert with her that it was important to be able to market the desirability and the fashion concept of this watch. And this was a new product for Apple, and so they weren't quite sure how to roll this out. You know, we haven't seen any spec sheets. We don't know what the processor speed or the memory is. Apple hasn't given us any comparison charts. You know, it's all about the software, and it's all about the looks. And I think Apple was a little bit uncertain about how to handle this. But as soon as they got into the mode of saying, we're going to treat this as a fashion item, and then they started letting the different models and the different bands explode, they finally found themselves in kind of a quandary about how to meet the demand. And that favoriting thing that came along at the end, I perceive as a sort of a last minute thing, like, oh my God, we got to figure out what people want so that we can start channeling our production, especially if they are having production problems. They have to sort of focus on which ones they think are going to be the most popular. So what I'm hearing from the readers is that they're a little bit annoyed about Apple, you know, focusing so hard on the fashion and the novelty and not so much telling me why I need it and giving me TV ads that go into details about Apple Pay and notifications and so on, which is going to be kind of dry. And as they went along with this process, I think they got into trouble with manufacturing, as you said. I think they let the number of models get out of hand. I think the marketing campaign sort of created this overwhelming demand. And all of a sudden, they realized that the potential demand for the product was out of sync with their production capacity, and they needed to start solving some problems. And solving the problems resulted in switching over to online ordering only, getting these things favorited ahead of time, and sort of deciding to pull back a little bit and let the order process guide them.
All right, so
that's where I am on that.
Let me see if I can summarize your argument here. You think that it makes more sense that Apple, at the very last second, shifted its let's make some approach to no, let's wait and see what everybody orders and then make them. You think that makes more sense than Apple is simply having trouble?
No, I think it was an evolving response to problem. The evolving response was that they realized they had too many models to choose from. They realized they didn't know what customers wanted in this new product category. And they realized they were having some production problems. And all those three kind of came together to sort of force an evolution of Apple's thinking that resulted in some changes at the last minute, at the last days, the last weeks, not the last second.
That flies in the face of a little thing I like to call reality.
That's why we hash these things out, Brian, to explore the scenarios. Fortunately, I'm right on this, and unfortunately, you're wrong, but that's the way it goes.
I suppose you can pretend that that's the case, but the way Apple's manufacturing tends to work with the volumes that Apple tends to make, there are a lot of ways to try to handle that initial demand, and everything that Apple is ever done ever has been about making as many as they can and shipping them to customers. Apple has never ever waited until it got the orders to then start making stuff. It just doesn't make any sense, man. It's not Apple's modus operandi. It doesn't make any supply chain sense. It's balderdash.
Evidence of Apple's nervousness about this rollout, I submit that they put the MacBook demos in the stores the same day as you could come in and look at an Apple Watch, fearing that perhaps there wouldn't be the overwhelming reaction to the Apple Watch. Leading up to it, there were a lot of comments from my readers and some comments I saw on the internet that, the watch is a sort of a bygone category. A lot of people have stopped wearing watches. They use their iPhone for a timekeeping device. Watches had sort of fallen out of fashion with the younger generation. Apple was trying to compensate by pointing out how many things it could do and how it could help out with the Apple iPhone so that you didn't have to be pulling it out of your pocket all the time and staring at it. But still, it was a difficult process of convincing the customer that they needed to be wearing a watch. And all along the way, there was this focus on the fashion aspect of it. And that could bring you a little bit of pause, too, because always Apple was known for the utility and the elegance of use of computers and phones. And so this might have caused Apple a little bit of alarm.
This whole fashion thing, you're completely misunderstanding why Apple has added this fashion element to the Apple Watch. That has been part of the game plan now for years. I mean, this is why Apple was hiring from the fashion industry. This wasn't some sort of last minute, oh my God, we better emphasize the fashion because
No, I don't think so. I don't think it was last minute. I just think that because it was so difficult to explain the technical aspects of the watch and why you should get one and why it's a great partner to your phone, they kind of lapsed into this marketing campaign of the glitz and the look and the appeal.
I have to disagree with you on that one, John. I think that the fashion side of this was the foundation for Apple from the beginning.
I think that it's the cornerstone.
There we go. For making
wearable computing something that people actually accept. And I think it's been baked into the game plan for at least 2 years.
But the question in my mind was Apple completely confident that it would work in this new product? And that may have led to some concern about the rollout. And with, combine that with some maybe manufacturing issues, Apple had to sort of change the way they did things. Remember when we were talking about how you were going to be able to go into the store and try one on, and then you'd order it, and they'd ship it to the store, and you'd come back, and you'd get it in the store, and the idea was that you were going to be trying things on, you were going to be standing on carpets, there was going to be glass cases, you were going to walk into the Apple store, and you were going to, with an appointment, and you were going to be treated like royalty, and you'd try one on, and it would see if it would match your, you know, personality and your look. And all that changed. All of a sudden, with the last second, it was like, whoops, you know, you're going to have to buy it sight unseen online.
Okay, so it is absolutely true that the way Apple is handling the ordering process was very dynamic and changed all through up until the last second. But there's a world of difference between Angela Rentz handling the retail side of things and the way these devices are being manufactured. I mean, Angela Rentz is in no way whatsoever deciding how Apple Watches are going to be manufactured.
My central thesis is if there was a manufacturing issue, Apple had to figure out which ones they were going to focus on. And in order to do that, they had to, one, get you to favorite your watch, and two, pay attention to what the mail order, what the online orders look like so that they could concentrate.
I would posit that Apple used the favorite data to, at that point, shift their focus on to which models would be assembled first, and that Apple started working on that immediately. That is Apple's modus operandi.
But weren't you saying a little while ago that you thought they were going to be very confident and build a lot and sell them all?
Well, I think that that they've built all that they could and continue to do so. But I if there was any kind of shift based on ordering, it was actually started back when favorites were first announced.
That makes a lot more sense
than Apple holding off until it finally gets those orders and then starting a just in time.
Well, you know, nothing is ever simple. It's always a complex process probably the truth is somewhere in between. Don't you think there's lots of things going on, and so it's not just simply one way or the other. It could very well have been that they built an initial quantity thinking that they would sell all those out, and that they would then let themselves be steered by the popularity of online orders. Yes, I believe that too.
All right, I win. That's all I heard.
All right. Well, okay. So now that we've established that, Brian, I think this is the perfect time for us to hop into our sponsor for this week.
Oh, yeah.
And our sponsor this week, as I mentioned earlier, is Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec. If you're not familiar with Pathfinder 7, it's like a finder replacement, add-on, supplement, substitute sort of thing that gives you more control over how you interact and organize the content on your Mac's hard drive. So in that sense, much easier to organize the files you're working with, much easier to find the files you're working with. What one of the features that I have totally fallen in love with since I started using Pathfinder is a thing called DropStack. And what that does is that lets you just aggregate a bunch of files and folders from different locations across all your media, and then choose where to copy all of those things to at once. And I really like that because in many cases, I'll be working with file assets that are scattered across several different folders, but they need to be grouped together in a single place for the final project. So I can just group everything together there in DropStack, and then when I'm ready, copy them all to the single location they need to go. It saves so much time because now all I need to have is one window open to manage all of these files that I'm copying and moving around. And it sounds like a very simple thing, but it turns out that it's actually incredibly powerful and has saved me a lot of time and a lot of frustration. Yeah, totally awesome feature. And the Cocotec people, they want to make sure that everyone gets a chance to try these features out themselves. So if you go to their website, cocotec.com/pathfinder, you can download a demo version, runs for a couple of weeks. And after you try it out and decide that you really, really need to buy this, then use the special discount code that we have. It's a TDO.
That's convenient.
Very convenient. And that's going to get you 25% off. So instead of spending $39.99 to buy this, you'll spend $29.95. This code's good through June, so you have a little bit of time to try it out. And for those of you that purchased Pathfinder 7 from a few weeks ago when Cocotec was sponsoring our show, thank you for doing that, because that lets them know that that their efforts to support us are totally worth it. So please go check out Pathfinder 7. As soon as you fall in love with it, use the discount code TDO, get yourself 25% off. And thank you, Cocotec, for being our sponsor this week.
Yes, thank you. I cannot live without it.
Well, there you go. That's quite an endorsement coming from John. Yeah. Okay. So now the next thing that I wanted to look at, John, is something that you wrote on Friday, where you started talking about Apple and innovation and why it's important that companies keep up with Apple. Fill us in on that.
Yeah, this was Particle Debris last Friday. And what started the process was me thinking about the cry for Apple to be more innovative and to come out with products that were newer and fresher and new product categories and new things more often. And in some sense, that's a demand by observers because they want to have a lot of things to write about, by stockholders who want to have Apple continue to be dominating and doing well. And then when you think about it, it's awfully hard to keep up. Apple makes these changes, comes out with these fundamental new products like the Apple Watch or something like the MacBook. And then all of a sudden, we're scrambling to catch up. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? I went back and I watched the entire March 9th presentation by Phil Schiller of the MacBook. And one of the things that stood out to me was his quote. He says, "Our vision of the future of the notebook is one without wires." And when you think about that, you know, nobody likes to sit down and fuss with a rat's nest of wires on their desk. And we all like our iPads. Our iPad, we charge it. We wish we could inductive charge it. We charge it, and then we go off and we do things with it. And we hardly ever connect it. So why should a MacBook be any different? Charge it up and then go do things with it. And as Mr. Schiller pointed out during that presentation, the features of Yosemite, like AirPlay and AirDrop and AirPrint, allow you to do things you couldn't do before wirelessly. And so with that vision, all of a sudden, we're scrambling, you know, annoyed. People go, oh, no, this is difficult. This is a problem. We're not going to have enough ports. And so it's important for people to follow along and sort of kind of play catch up. Yeah, yeah. So my thesis in the article was that, yeah, when Apple does come out with something new and it does become innovative, we got to really scramble to pay attention and get caught up and learn a lot about the new products and sort of figure out what Apple's vision is and then let us get moved into the future with it. And that means a lot of work by not just the people who write about Apple, but people who use Apple's products to exploit all of these new features.
And of course, it means we have to go buy new adapters.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, we are out of time. So, John, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And Brian, thank you for being here, too.
Indeed.
And I just love the perspective that both of you bring whenever I have you on the show. Thank you to CocoTech and Pathfinder 7 for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website, cocotech.com/Pathfinder. Use the discount code TDO. Get yourself 25% off Pathfinder 7. And listeners, thank you for being here again today. Head over to the iTunes iTunes app and rate our show, because it's always great to get your feedback, and when you give your feedback, it makes it easier for other people to find the show as well and join in on the fun. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.